so we can breathe again and breathe freely again. You would take care of all of our sinuses, our allergies, for you are the Lord God who forgive all of our iniquities and heal all of our diseases. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. All right, so let's look at Acts 7 and 14. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I ain't forgetting nothing. No? All right, well, let's go. Let's go. 7:14, we'll just kind of touch here, and then we'll jump in Genesis. The Bible says, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. Father, we pray you had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been talking about Joseph. Amen. And to make a long story short, amen, Joseph is in Egypt. He finally reveals his identity to his brothers. Amen. It happened when he slipped the silver cup in Benjamin's bag, brought him back. He was going to detain Benjamin indefinitely and make him his personal slave. Judah steps up, amen, and Judah begins to plead on the behalf of Benjamin. And when Joseph sees that, he could not refrain himself any longer. He began to weep and cry, and he revealed himself to his brothers. When he revealed himself to his brothers, he says, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? The Bible tells us that they could not talk to him. Couldn't even speak to him. They were so amazed, amen, that it was the brother that they had sold into slavery standing before them. He began to show them that, amen, he didn't hold any grudge against them, that he actually forgave them for what they had done. And last week, if you remember, we talked about true forgiveness and the evidence of true forgiveness. And we went through several different things, amen, whereby we can check our own spirit and check our own heart. Because sometimes we say we forgive people, but we really hadn't forgiven them. Amen? And so we said, hallelujah, there was a few ways in which we could know if our forgiveness was true. This morning, we're going to continue talking about Joseph. And particularly, we're going to talk about how he calls his father home. And so the title of this message is Called His Father Jacob, Part 2. And we're going to kind of get into it. I wanted to move a little quicker, but I didn't finish at a good place last time, and so we'll continue to look at Genesis a little bit. We'll have 3 points this morning. I want to talk with you about Jacob. I want to talk with you about Israel. And I want to talk with you about God, right? Jacob, Israel, and God. And what you'll see in this structural layout is that Jacob and Israel are the same person, yo. Amen? But how many people know that there's an old you and a new you? Amen. That all of us have a Jacob and we have an Israel. Amen. And sometimes we can caught up, even though we're born again, we can get caught up acting like the old us. Amen. Instead of the new us. Amen. So the first point, we'll watch Jacob act like the old Jacob. Act like the Jacob that, amen, we're not really proud of. Second point, amen, we're going to leave what he did wrong and see what he did right in this situation. And then lastly, we'll talk about God and his response, amen, on to Jacob. Amen. Hallelujah. It's supposed to be Israel, Jacob, Israel, and God, sound booth. I might have sent that to you wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's begin with our first point, Jacob. Somebody say Jacob. Turn with me to Genesis 45 and verse 25. And if you don't have your Bibles, we'll put it up on the screen for you. Genesis 45 and verse 25. As you turn to this, amen, Jacob had just revealed his identity to his brothers. And he gives them the evidence that he has really forgiven them, amen, counseling their grief and doing all manner of things to kind of assure them, amen, that he's done with any grudge. After he tells them this, amen, he tells them in verse 9, he says, all right, I need y'all to go and get my father, Jacob. Hurry up and go get him, hallelujah, out of the land of Canaan. In verse 21 of your Bible, in Genesis, he gives them wagons wagons of provision, of clothing, of all manner of good and luxurious things from Egypt. He says, listen, go get my father, but take some provision with you. Take some wagons with you. And so that's what they did. Luxurious, hallelujah, creature comforts out of Egypt. Just so many blessings he was sending with his brothers, amen, to accompany them to go and get Jacob. In verse 24, we'll put 24 on the screen. Joseph knows his brothers and how they can get caught up sometimes. Back in the day when they were growing up, they were never where they were supposed to be. Anybody know people like that? Amen. They never where they're supposed to be. In fact, amen, they were supposed to be one place and they ended up another place. And that's what got Joseph in trouble when he went check on them. All right? Because they saw him coming and they knew, amen, that he was going to tell their daddy. So Joseph, in verse 24, I love what he says here. He tells his brothers before they go back. Now, it's been decades, all right? It's been decades. And Joseph looked at them boys again, and he says, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And they leaving out the door, look what he said. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. You know what Joseph was saying? Make sure y'all go where y'all supposed to go. I'm giving y'all all these wagons, all this clothing, all this treasure. Don't you stop by nobody's house on the way back to Daddy Reuben. Leave that little woman alone. All right? And Judah, don't you try to stop by the casino. You know, you love money so much. And so he's telling me, he says, make sure you don't fall out of the way. You see, because when you're not where you're supposed to be, things happen that's not really supposed to happen. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So stay under the covering. Be where you're supposed to be. Amen? And God's going to make sure you get where you're supposed to get. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Other newer translations say he was telling them not to argue, not to fall out with each other along the way. I like the King James Version better. Amen? Look at 25 now. Let's get to it. The Bible says, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. So they make it back to Canaan with all the wagons, all the treasure, all the creature comforts and accoutrements. They walk into their father's house. And the first words out of their mouth that they tell Jacob is, Joseph is alive. All right? Joseph is alive. Somebody caught it already. Now you got to understand, y'all, this is the last thing that Jacob is prepared to hear right now. Jacob is not thinking about Joseph. You ever had something so bad happen in your life that you prefer not to think about it? Amen? It's a place in your heart that you prefer not to go. Amen. The soil, amen, of your heart is still tender. Amen. So instead of go around there and be hurt and cry every time, a lot of the times we could put a fence around it and just stay away from that place in our heart. Amen. We stay away from thinking about mama or thinking about daddy or thinking about that child that passed away or somebody that did us wrong. And that's the way Jacob kind of does this. He just would rather not think about Joseph, you know. So he kind of just stay away from it, you know. And these brothers come in there and they say, they just bust the door wide open. They say, Joseph is alive. Now, Jacob, upon their return, is only worried really about one thing. He's worried about one thing. Anybody know one thing that he's worried about? He's worried about Benjamin. All right? When they bust in the house, he's looking to see if Benjamin is with him. All right? He sees Simeon. That's fine. Great. He could have stayed. But what he's really looking for is Benjamin. So when they bust in and he see Benjamin, he say, check. He sees Simeon. He say, well, we'll take it. All right? And then they come in there and they say, Joseph is alive. He said, what y'all talking about? Why y'all bringing up Joseph right now? This is a happy time, a happy day. Y'all made it back. Y'all have food. Amen. Y'all got Benjamin with you. Simeon done made the trip. Why are you trying to bring me down by bringing up Joseph again? You see? And the Bible says, amen, that, hallelujah, when they say Joseph is yet alive, he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob didn't even hear the governor part. He didn't hear the governor of all Egypt. All he heard was Joseph. And the Bible says that Jacob's heart fainted. All right? And the fainted in the Hebrew here means that he got weak. Huh? You see, at this time, Jacob is over 100 years old. Some people put him even around the age of 120, 130. All right? And when you get older like that, amen, you just don't want to hear about no anything. You see? See, because, hallelujah, sickness we could take, but a broken spirit, a broken heart, who could bear, the Bible saying? And Jacob had a broken heart. And just when things was going good, they're going to bring up Joseph, amen, and the Bible say he got weak right there. You know? That's probably where Fred Sanford got that, huh? When he said, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. You know? He got weak. All right? But I'm going to tell you why he really got weak. And it's right here in the text. I'm going to tell you why he was filled with sorrow and grief. Amen. Because the Bible says, for he believed them not. He believed them not. Say that with me. He believed them not. You see? See, Jacob had a faith problem. Jacob had a faith problem. He had a problem believing. And in my spirit, amen, while our Worship and Creative Arts team was ministering unto us and ministering to the Lord, amen, I believe we're in a season where God is going to call faith out of us. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, he's going to call faith out of us. As a church and in your lives individually, God is going to call you out on the water and see if you can walk with him on the water. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, anybody hear me up in here? I'm talking about some things, amen, you've been waiting on God for. Some things, amen, that seem impossible. Some things, amen, that, listen, on your own you would not be able to accomplish. But before this year is over, our testimony will be that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how it is. But we got to get our faith right. We got to get our faith right. Amen. But Jacob has a problem with faith. He really does. You see? He didn't believe that Joseph was alive. All he heard was Joseph. He didn't hear the alive part. He didn't even hear the governor of all of Egypt. All he heard was Joseph. And immediately when he heard Joseph, his heart went into negativity. Somebody say negativity. You see, because that's the opposite of faith. Pessimism and negativity. Don't you dare claim that you have a lot of faith if you are a pessimist. If you participate in stinking thinking. You see, because negativity is the opposite of faith. And Jacob had a problem with being so negative. He was quick to believe, amen, bad news before he would believe good news. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, I got a few claps because I feel like I'm hitting on something. All right? I want you to think about yourself for a second. Are you quicker to receive bad news? Or are you swifter to receive the good news? Right? Let me show you in the text how Jacob receives bad news about Joseph. We see him here. He just got some good news about Joseph. Joseph is alive. Brother Harvey, he don't even hear it. Let's see what happened when they told him that Joseph was dead. Go back to Genesis 37 and 33. Let's look at it here. Because some of us are quicker to receive bad from the hand of the Lord, bad news, than we are to receive good news. In Genesis 37, 33, they come to Joseph. They come to Jacob after they had sold Joseph into slavery, put blood upon his coat from an animal, amen, and they bring the coat to Jacob. And look at it here. Verse 33, they give Jacob the coat, and he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Hold on. Jacob didn't even give them boys a chance to lie. They didn't even have to lie to Jacob. All they did was show Jacob the coat with goat blood on it. Wasn't even the blood of his son, but he just saw the coat, and immediately his mind went into negative stinking thinking. It's never going to work out. We're never going to win. We're never going to accomplish this. If I'm sick, it must be cancer. We're never going to get this house. I'm about to lose this, but the car's about to go. You got to understand about the human mind. See, the human mind has patterns. When we was younger, G-Money, behind your house, there was a trail we used to take. We used to take that trail, cut through Port Avis Park, and try to get to Ove and Mayo so we can go play basketball against them boys and do what we got to do. So many people pass on that trail, amen, even though it was through the woods, amen, the trail was open and you could walk through it. It was a trail. And the trail happened because so many people passed through that point so many times. And it was just a trail. In your mind, amen, your mind makes trails. It follows a pattern. And if you allow your mind in every situation to go to the negative, amen, no matter what news you hear, it'll go down that same pattern, that same trail, because you got a road that leads right to negativity in your mind. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Come on, tell your neighbor, it's time to cut a new trail. Jacob didn't give them boys an opportunity to lie. He saw the coat. He said, it's my son's coat. And look, an evil beast had devoured him. No doubt he's rent in pieces. You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, he concluded quickly that Joseph is dead. He got his funeral clothes out, the next verse said. He put sackcloth and ashes on. As soon as he saw the coat, nobody told him nothing. You know, he makes no inquiry. He does not question the boss. Did y'all see Joseph? You know, there's no question about, well, is he wounded? There's no, let's send out a search party for him. Can we go in the neighborhood where he was and see if anybody else might have seen him? When he saw the coat, amen, his mind went down the trail that it went down 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, 50 times, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It went down the trail of negative thinking, and it's a trail of no faith that leads into death. Anybody hear me up in here? He said he must be dead. He must be dead. See, a lot of times right before you get your blessing, news going to come. And it's a way of God testing you, whether you're the old Jacob or whether you're Israel. Hey, God have mercy. You see, God want to know. You see what I'm saying? He want to know. If you've arrived, amen, in your faith and your relationship with him. See, as a people, I think that this word is important for us. You see, since we know who we are, God's going to test and see. If we're going to have a mentality of a slave, where nothing work out, or we going to really have a mentality of the chosen, prophetic, anointed, and appointed people of the Most High God that seas split for and mountains move out the way for. Which one we going to be? You going to be Jacob or you going to be Israel? He believed the bad news. He was so quick. You see? I got a word for you, and that's my sub-point A. Jacob was quick to believe the bad news. I got a word for you. Don't be so quick to accept bad news. And on the opposite, slow to believe the good news. You see how quick he believed he was dead? And now they telling him alive, he won't faint because he don't believe him. You know, we got some people in here like that. Huh? You know? They come in and they tell you, amen, Joseph is alive. And you say, it ain't true. You just always go to the negative. I said earlier, you go to the doctor, or you see a little spot on your arm, or it must be cancer. You get a pimple on your face, I'm dying. The breaker go off in your house. Oh, we didn't pay the light bill. Forget where you parked. They can't pick up the car again. You walking home, your car is in the parking lot. Walking home, look. People pass, what's wrong with you? Where you going? They picked up my car. They calling you in the office to get a raise. To get a promotion. You walking up in there, I guess I'm fired. I might as well let y'all know everything that's on my heart. Let me tell you now. You over here and you start telling everybody else off. And they come in there, it was a promotion for you. But because of stinking thinking, because of unbelief, you see? So slow to believe the good and quick to believe the bad. That boy don't answer his phone one time. One time. He in the checkout line, amen, hallelujah, buying him something to eat, you know, he just, you know, he don't answer for him one time. And where your mind say he at? He cheat. He had that other woman house. Help us. Help us. We immediately go. You see? And I'm telling you here, I'm telling you, it's a trail. And every time something happens, you stand at the mouth of the trail. You stand at the entrance of it. And they got a trail that's going to lead to death and a trail that's going to lead to life. A trail that's going to lead to blessing and a trail that's going to lead to cursing. A trail that's going to lead to arguments, a trail that's going to lead. And we stand there when something happens and we have a decision. Shall I walk in doubt, unbelief, and negativity? Or shall I walk in faith, positive thinking? Believing in my God, believing and trusting in Him. And listen, it happens to us every day. Many times a day. You see? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. We got to be careful with this negative thinking because this negative thinking can actually affect the direction of your whole life. You know? Well, Pastor, that's just how I was born. You better be born again. You better be renewed. Amen. God don't want you to be like that, man. You like that because of, listen, it's wrong the way you like that. Because God is not like that. God don't think the worst. God think the best. If God thought the worst of you, you understand what I'm saying? He never would have accepted you into the beloved. He never would have died for you. Amen. The old songwriter said he saw the best in you. You know what I'm saying? We got to watch that, all right? And a lot of the times, amen, things not happening for us the way they should is because of our own mindset. All right? I'm going to say this for half of the church, and I'm going to give another scripture for the other half, because one side of the church, amen, don't believe that our thinking affect our life. When the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he, that thinking affects us. Now, they got a whole group that don't believe that scripture because they say it's taken out of context. Well, let me give you another way so you can understand that God don't want you to be thinking negative. He don't want you to be thinking negative because he tells us in his word, he said, think on these things. If anything is true, if anything is praiseworthy. You understand what I'm saying? He want us to be on a positive track as far as thinking. Let me give you another bit of advice. Amen. Hallelujah. He don't want us in negative thinking because whatever you think sinks down into your heart. When you think long enough about something, amen, it becomes a heart pattern as well. It becomes a part of your heart. All right? And that's why God says, he says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the what? The issues of life. Whatever's in your mind goes in your heart. Whatever's in your heart comes out of your life. Anybody hear me up in here? So as a man thinketh, so is he. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. You understand what I'm saying? So everything you thinking that actually goes into your heart will determine the direction of your life. Now, how does this relate to me? Huh? You're so negative. You're so down when situations happen. All right? And what happens is, amen, you're thinking that way, and it becomes as though it was a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life. When God had better things for you. When God had better things for you. You see, before Israel entered the promised land, they were stuck on thinking. Giants are in the land. It's never going to work out. Moses, you should have left us where we were. Joshua, we can't go there. We just can't. And what happened? They couldn't. They stayed in that wilderness, amen, 40 years. I wonder who in the wilderness this morning. I wonder who not paid and who broke this morning just because of an adjustment that they need to make with their mind. I wonder whose relationship is not working out with their spouse just because an adjustment with their mind. I wonder, amen, if we make this small adjustment on going negative to positive. Amen. How that'll change your direction in life. You see? We just gotta watch that. All right? If it's in your mind, it's in your heart, it's gonna wind up coming out your mouth. And when it come out your mouth, the Bible says, be careful about that tongue, because like it's like a rudder of a ship. It's like the helm of a ship. You see? It'll determine your course in life. Now I'm giving you a bunch of different scriptures because they got a whole sect of Christendom that don't believe that negative thinkings affect the direction you're going. It really does, y'all. You see, if God don't come in and move Jacob right here, Jacob would have stayed in Canaan. He would have stayed in grief and sorrow. He would have stayed in Canaan in grief and sorrow and famine and poverty while his son is alive, bawling, blessed, second to the throne. So you see what I'm talking about here? All because of your mentality. All because of your mentality. You see? Let me give you a few ways, amen, to come out of that stinking thinking. Let me give you a few ways to come out of negativity. Let me give you a few ways that when you hear bad news, amen, you don't immediately accept it. And when you hear good news, you don't immediately dispel it. All right? I'm gonna try to go quick. Number one, prove all things. When bad news comes, just don't say, oh yeah, it's good. You know, do like Jacob was supposed to do. Send out a search party, man. Go look for your son, man. Interrogate them brothers, man. I guarantee you he might have found out the truth if he would have just proved all things. I don't care what that doctor said. You better go get your second opinion. I don't care what the bank say. You better go try and do it another way. Listen, man, don't you just take no when God done put a vision in your heart of where you're supposed to be. No, we're not accepting that. You got to learn to be gritty and to prove all things. All right? You just don't take the first no that come your way, the first piece of bad news that come your way. I don't care what kind of giants they have and that God said is for me, and it is for me. Come on, give God some glory. The Bible saying 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is what? Good. Let that bad stuff go, man. You know? Secondly, how do I come out of this thinking, negative thinking? Amen. Fellowship. All right? Fellowship. What you mean by that? Get around some positive people. You see, if you just negative and you stay around negative people, you can always remain negative. It's like in school, we learn about integers. Amen? What's integers, Pastor? Well, we got positive numbers and we got negative numbers. All right? So you a -3. All right? And all you do is hang around negative. You ain't got a friend, -1. You got another friend, -2. You got another friend, -4. Amen? But when y'all come together, -+- -= -. You ain't doing nothing. -3 and -2 make -5. Y'all all just negative. Just negative. Get away from negative people. Get away from faithless people. All right? Need to find you somebody, amen, you can get with, amen, who's positive. You see, because if you get a friend that's positive enough, you see, if -3 hook up with +5, hey, God, they switch from a negative integer to a positive. Anybody hearing me up in here? Can we go back to elementary school for a second here? All right? So it's fellowship. The Bible tells us clearly, amen, take heed, brethren, in Hebrews, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Of unbelief. We just not believe in the good things from God. Departing from the living God. He says in 13, but exhort one another, encourage one another, how? Daily, while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't just sit in unbelief. Get around people that have faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And us that have faith, there's a few that just believe God. They don't care how it go. They just know God gonna work it out. They just know God gonna find a way. Amen. Hallelujah. There's people like that. There's actually people with a spiritual gift of faith. Anybody hear me up in here? When you find somebody like that, amen, you better put them on speed dial on your phone. You just dial number 5. You just hold 5 down. Amen. You put them on favorites. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to get close to somebody like that. All right? And if you're a person of great faith, amen, hallelujah, you have to allow the negatives to come in your vicinity. All right? So you can help them. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. All right? And so the sharp knives got to hang with the dull knives every now and then. I'm not saying you hang with the spoon. No, they're a knife. They save. But they just dull. And like grandma used to take the 2 knives and just. This is what we need in the body. Fellowship. Hallelujah. Number 3. Let me move quicker. When those negative thoughts come in your mind, you got to cast them down. You got to cast them down. James Malvo taught about, amen, the spiritual warfare. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? The pulling down of strongholds. And that negative thinking is a stronghold that needs to be pulled down. All right? Your mama thought that way. Your daddy thought that way. Amen? And that's why, amen, hallelujah, they could never rise up and get anywhere. Amen? Because there was a stronghold. There was a stronghold. All right? It's just negative thinking. All right? And let me tell you something about that, all right? And it goes back to that fellowship. When you get around somebody with that negativity, correct them. Correct them. Correct them. Correct them off the spot. And it could be your husband. It could be your wife. It don't even matter. That's a worthy argument. That's a worthy argument. Because they come in there and they pull them out. Oh, we ain't going to never. We going to live in this little shotgun house forever. And then they're not. No. And you could do it rough, or you can do it nice. I prefer the nice way myself. You could just laugh and say, oh no, we're not gonna live here forever. Oh no, 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 we're not gonna live here forever. I know who I have believed in, and I know when I ask, I shall receive. When I seek, I shall find. I know, no, 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 no. You going down the wrong path right here. And so those that's positive, you need to correct the negative ones. Negative, when they correct you, amen, shake back. Don't get upset and say, let me go down this negative path. All right? You got a splinter in your big toe. There you go. They're going to have to amputate. They're going to have to cut it. You get up in there and you say, settle down. Settle down. It's just a splinter. In fact, grab the tweezers. We're going to make this work right here. Correct them. And when you receive that correction from negative thinking, receive it. Receive it. Because it's for your life. It's for your blessing. Hallelujah. Because there you go. You're about to go down that trail again. You're about to go down that trail again. And that trail ends off in depression, in despair. You locked in a room by yourself. You got a bottle of pills on the thing. You got an alcohol bottle right here. That's where that trail leads, amen. But somebody has to be in your life that when they see you going by the mouth, the entrance of that trail, they just grab your hand and say, no, we're not going back down there again. It's not happening. It's not, I love you too much to let you go down there again. You know? And if you bless, you married to somebody like that. If you bless, you got a good friend like that. If you bless, you come to a church like that, that won't let you go down there. That's how Elijah was in the Old Testament. He done hid himself in some cave somewhere. I'm going to say, Elijah, what's going on? What's happening? What's wrong with you? Where are you? And God had to encourage Elijah. Elijah like, Lord, I'm by myself. Well, you're not by yourself. Wake up. Come on out this cave here, man. I've got 500 prophets, amen, that never bowed the knee to Baal. You are not alone. And God was trying to pull him out of that. You see? Come on, tell your neighbor, let me pull you out. Tell your other neighbor, pull me out. Yeah, 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 yeah. You got to cast it down. You got to, look, number four, you got to think on God. When you go into that negative thinking, begin to think on God. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. See, when you fall into negative thinking, you've forgotten about God. You've forgotten about God. You're just thinking about the situation, you and your strength. You've forgotten about him. You've taken him out of the equation. You've forgotten about him. But if you keep your mind on him, you'll stay in perfect peace. Huh? Perfect peace. Why? Because you know your Father going to supply all your needs. According to your riches in Christ Jesus, you know no weapon formed against you going to prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you going to be condemned. You know, amen, that any sickness that come upon you, that Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, you already know that he got your back. So, when you go into negative thinking, you forgot about him. That's what Jacob did. He forgot about God. They showed him the court. He must be dead. Wait up. Wait up. I know my God not just going to let it go down like that. My God, you got to think on God. Number five, when you're going down that path, you got to think on good things. And we talked about Philippians 4:8. Hallelujah. And when you think on good things, you're trying to get your mind out the gutter. You're trying to get it out the ditch. Amen. Hallelujah. So you began to combat that by thinking on good things. Amen. And that's out of Philippians 4:8. Number six, you began to renew your mind. And this is not in no type of order right here. I'm just giving it to you how it came to me. When you realize, amen, that your mind is prone to going in places it should not go, you got to make a conscious decision to renew it. You see, the mind, amen, though it has paths that it takes, all right? The way God made us, amen, we can blaze new trails and cut new paths. And this is what we mean when we say renewing the mind. See, the way you think and the way you are, amen, because of the grace and the power of Almighty God, is not the way you have to stay. You understand what I'm saying? Don't give this cop out, that's the way I am. You don't have to stay that way. New trails can be cut. New ways can be made. God can take the most negative person and turn them into the most positive person on earth. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And the funny thing about it, we know that he can do it. Because he did that in some other areas of our lives. All right? You used to be the most drunkest person in the club. There you know, and now you're the most sober. You know what I'm saying? You used to be the most godless. Now you're the most godly. You used to be the person who would never dawn the doors of a church. And now you in church every Sunday. So God can flip the script on some things and not all things? No. That's not the way my God works. Bible says my God is able. Oh, God, he's able. All right? We just got to learn how to renew our minds. And one of the scriptures that blessed me, hallelujah, was this Jeremiah 29:11. This is a scripture that'll help you renew your mind. All right? When you're going into some negative stinking thinking. All right? Just tattoo that on your arm, but we don't do tattoos, all right? Just not no more. Just put that, hallelujah. Just put that on your wall. Put that on your refrigerator. And scriptures like this, amen, will help you come out of the gutter of your mind. How is it going to help me come out of the gutter of my mind? Listen, if you believe and you know what God is saying in 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Another translation says, I know the plans I have for you. You mean God got plans for me? Yes. What kind of plans, said the Lord? Thoughts and plans of what? Of peace. Come on, man. Come on, man. If this thing that's happening in my mind is not about peace, I can't receive it. Because it's not according to the plan that God have for me. And I'm just not receiving that. Oh, God, have mercy. And not evil. If this thinking is leading me to evil coming upon me, and I'm thinking that it's... No. It's not according to his plan for my life. To give me an expected end. Other translations say a future. A hope. You see what I'm saying? That's where God wants you at, man. God don't want you in hopelessness. He wants you in hopefulness. Anybody hear him right here? Hopeful. All right? So you got to renew your mind about what God wants for you, how God sees you, you know? And I'm going to tell y'all right now, you know, me and my wife, we've been doing this school thing for how long, pretty? 6 years. And we've been doing this church thing. How long, pretty? 10 years. All right. How old am I? I'm just joking. Listen. Let me tell you something we say around the house all the time. Parents mess up kids. Parents mess up kids, man. Tear them up. Tear them up. Pastor, why are you talking about that like that? Number one, adults, listen to me. A lot of the ways you operate and you think, that negative thinking and all that, how you move, your movements, they mess you up. That's from mom and daddy. They mess you up. Parents mess up kids. And messed up kids make messed up adults. Oh, God, have mercy. Just messed up. They mess you up. I know you sitting here thinking you got you raised in the Cosby home. That's not a good example these days, but you thinking it was the perfect home. Man, they mess you up, man. And people wasn't saved. People didn't love the Lord. Some of y'all, I'm saying. Man, they mess you up, man. And part of that mess up, amen, was that they programmed your mind a certain way. And look, what they didn't brainwash me. No. Just sitting in the living room with mama and watching how she act when news come in. That's all the programming you need. Just sitting there with daddy and watching him when a bill come in or watching when something don't work out. You just sitting there and you being programmed just by watching. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. You just watching, you just listening, and you just, well, that's, in your mind, you're not saying that, but what's happening is your soul is saying, that's how I handle news when it come in. That's how I handle trouble. Parents mess up kids. Now the thing about that is this, you know, if y'all not careful, you're doing it again. I got three classes. Ain't no, they be tripping because my little wife, and even me, we not that hard on the youngsters. We not that hard on the kids. In fact, we show the kids PCA, everything like that. She'll call me sometime for advice on different things, or she'll make a decision. She keep me informed. We not too hard on the kids. And sometimes they're like, why are they not so hard on the kids? We're not so hard on the kids because we see who messed the kids up. We see. Did you just say that out loud? Yep. Because a lot of what they're going through ain't they fault. Now, sooner or later, that's why I can look at a child and, you know, I'm like, don't worry about it, bro. So we training them into this negative thinking, all right? So parents, look, I'm going to move on from that. I don't even know how I got on it, but I'm going to move on from it, amen? I'll move on from it. Listen, you're going to have to really begin, I'm telling you, man, to shepherd the hearts of your children, man. You got to, don't just look for behaviors, man. Look for heart motions, man. Look for movements of the soul. Don't just look at the exterior, man. When you look at them, man, look at their soul, man. Like, what's going on in that? What's happening in there? What's going on in there, man? You know? And by God, if you hear them being pessimistic and that stinking thinking, you better correct that. Because it ain't going to be good they grow up like that. Come on, give God some glory, amen? My God. All right, listen, we got to move, man. We got to renew our minds, man. You know, God asked a question, amen, to Israel. He said, whose report shall you believe? You know? And we got some people believing bad reports too often. We renew our mind to come out of stinking thinking. What we did this weekend, we take a praise break, amen. We do praise and worship and thanksgiving. When you began to have a cloud, because in the spirit, it's a cloud. I've seen it before in the spirit. I'll be in the spirit, you know what I'm saying? Like full. And I'm in a situation and I watch bad news come, you know? It's like sometimes it's like I'm looking at a person and I see like a cloud come over. Like a shadow. Like a shadow. You know how when it's like a sunny day and a cloud come and how you could see it on the ground? That's how it looked to me. Or like on the cartoons, amen, when something happened and a little cloud coming, and you know, and it's raining on, it's like that. Because you could be having a jolly day and everything is going good, and you get some news, and that cloud come right over you. And your countenance will change. You'll be from, you know, like, man, everything is working. We all going to die. When that happens, take a praise break. They got a song that says, sometimes you got to put a praise on it. You understand what I'm saying? Because praise will disperse the clouds. All right? Here's the last one. Encourage yourself. Because sometimes you ain't going to find nobody to encourage you. You ain't going to find no integers to hang around. Amen. No positives. Amen. You'll be by yourself. And like, listen, we were listening to Brian. Amen. And Brian said 1 Samuel 30 and 6 when David, hallelujah, when they had just captured, hallelujah, all of his men, wives, and the children, everything like that. And they was thinking about stoning David. And David couldn't find nobody to encourage him. All right? Because they was all in negative thinking. They was all in stinking thinking. What happens when everybody around you is in unbelief and in faithlessness and in stinking thinking? Hallelujah. What happens then? Do I just fold up my tent and say, I'm not going to believe God either? God forbid. Because when I can't find nobody to encourage me, I will encourage myself. That's what it's got to be, and you gotta learn to get to that level in the faith, huh? I'm talking about, look, everybody could be talking crazy, husband, children, come to church, even pastor talking crazy, y'all, we not going to make it. You got to learn how to speak over yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. Come on, give God some glory, amen? We're just talking about Jacob here for a second, all right? Now, let me show you something else Jacob did wrong. And we're going to stop whenever it's time to stop. Let me show you something else Jacob did wrong, all right? This will cover some of us, this first point. It'll cover some of us, amen, where we just prone to believe the bad news and to reject the good news. And I'm going to tell you right now, amen, hallelujah, if you allow this to get chronically bad, this can keep you out of heaven. This right here will keep you out of heaven. This spirit of unbelief will stop you from believing the real good news, the best news, that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. You see, people could be so negative and so pessimistic that they won't think that they're lovable. They won't think that God will actually sacrifice himself on the cross. They've been raised in such a negative environment, amen, they can't believe the gospel. They can't believe. And I guarantee you, man, listen, there are people in here like that. There are people on the radio. There's people on YouTube like that. Amen. You're so negative that you can't believe that God would love you enough to die for you on the cross. Stinking thinking. Keeping you out of heaven. And mess around, send you straight to hell. No, everything ain't bad. No, everything ain't bad. And what God did on Calvary's show wasn't bad. It was good. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Look, we just talking because I believe we enter in a season of faith. All right? All right, tell your neighbor, get your faith ready. All right? All right? Yeah, get your faith ready, because we enter in it. Listen, as a church, listen, as a family, amen, individually, we enter in a season of faith, amen. Listen, Jacob, he had another problem. Not only did he believe the bad news too quickly, Jacob believed only what he could see. My God. That's what Jacob's problem was. They come and get him, telling him that Joseph is alive. You know what I'm saying? And he can't believe it. You know? But in 27, the Bible says this. And they told him all the what? The words of Joseph. And he said, which he had said unto them. All right? And when he saw the what? The wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And in 28, Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now watch this. All right? Now it was the mercy of God that gave Jacob what he needed to believe right then and there. That was the mercy of God. All right? Because he was in a bad place. He was in negative, stinking thinking. All right? Now, the funny thing about it is, watch this in the text. after God gave him what he needed to believe, the Bible goes from calling him Jacob to calling him, hey, listen to me now. It began to call him Israel because he come out of negativity. He said, I believe now. I believe now. Yeah, he's yet alive. I believe now. I'm going to go and see him now. All right? So God pulled him out. And that's just the mercy of God. That's when we pray, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's just the mercy of God. That sometimes we could be negative and in thinking, but God will send a tow truck to get us out of our wreck that we in. Hallelujah. Because our faith had got shipwrecked. But God will come and do that. And listen, I'm not trying to play like I'm all that, because I done been in places before, been in things before where your faith get challenged. Where you began to think, you say, God, are you really coming through? And the mercy of God, amen, even though, hallelujah, we, hallelujah, vacillate, God will sometimes send us some help to believe. All right? And that's just the grace of God. That's just the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, man, that's just the grace of Almighty God. But that's not where you want to be with God. You want to believe God. All right? That's the optimal, amen, maximum level where we want to be. You see, the Bible says, and they told him what? All the words of Joseph. All right? The words of Joseph wasn't enough for Jacob. He couldn't believe the word. Oh, the word wasn't enough. The word wasn't enough. You see? He had to see something. When they told him all the words of Joseph, he still didn't believe. But when he saw the wagons, oh, God have mercy. My question to you is, do you have to see the wagons? God will show them to you if you have to, but I'm hoping that we could arise to a place where we ain't got to see nothing, to believe nothing. We're going to take God at his word. Hey, God have mercy. I wish I had a Hebrew or two up in here. I'm telling you here. He's taking us to a place where he's asking us, is my word enough for you? Or do you have to see some things? When I tell you I'm going to restore you, when I tell you that I'm going to bless you, when I tell you I'm going to reunify you, when I tell you you're going to be the head and not the tail above and not beneath, when I tell you that everything the devil stole from you, I'm going to repay it sevenfold. God trying to find out, is my word enough for you this morning? Or do I have to show you some wagons? Jacob didn't believe until he saw the wagons. Come on, y'all sit down. Y'all gonna get me. Y'all gonna make me lose my voice up in here. Hallelujah. When he saw the wagons with the clothes and all the creature comforts from Egypt, and the Bible says, then his spirit was revived. Then he said, it's enough. Joseph is alive. I'm going to go and see him now. There's a problem for me. It's a problem for me because it's not exactly where God wants us to be. You see, my Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to see nothing. Your word is enough, my God. You see what I'm saying? You see, it's the world that tells us seeing is believing. That's the world, y'all. That's not us. We got too many Christians acting like they was born in Missouri. The show me state. They show me. Show. I won't see it. No, man. Man, when you just gonna trust God again? When you just going to say, Lord, your word is enough. You alone have the words of life. When you just going to say, you know what I'm saying? See, the world says seeing is believing. But our Bible says hearing is believing. Pastor, I don't remember that scripture, hearing is believing. You don't remember that? My Bible says faith coming by and hearing by the word of. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ain't got to see nothing. Got to see nothing. I just need to hear you, God. And if I hear you, it's enough for me. It's enough for me. It's like God playing that game with us when you got to close your eyes and you're in this maze and everything is dark. We want to open our eyes so bad, but God's saying, just trust my voice. Just trust my voice. You see, my sheep, they hear me and they know my voice. He said, just trust my voice. But God, I can't see. You don't need to see. I see for you. Hey, God, because even if you saw, you would only see what's right in front of you. But I see what's in front of you. I see what's behind you. I see what's on the left, on the right. I see what's around the corner. I have a panoramic view of everything that's going on. You want to see something. But what you see, hey God, ain't going to really help you. As if you would just rely upon me. God said, you don't need to see. You don't need to. You don't need to see. You don't need to see. God just said, just walk by faith. Just hear me. Go right. Okay, God, I'm going right. Go left. All right, God, I'm going left. Do the snake. Okay, I'm doing the snake. Hey, God. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to do it. Somebody say his word is enough. Jacob heard the words of Joseph. He had to see something. You see, let me tell you. You see, when you're waiting to see something, it means that your faith is weak. Or that you have no faith at all. You see, by definition, faith is the substance of things unseen. Hey! That's what faith is. That I could believe God for something that I can't yet see or touch. It's the substance of things unseen. It's the evidence of things hoped for. I don't have it yet, but I'm hoping for it. See, the Bible says when it's seen, it ceases to be faith. You see what I'm saying? Jacob had an opportunity to go by faith. He had to see the wagons. I wonder who I'm talking to in here. Well, God is wanting something from you. He's wanting you to believe him about something. But you're waiting to see something. You like the farmer that planted seed, but every morning he wake up and unbury it. You grew yet? And then you bury it back. That's not the way faith works. Faith worked under the surface, where no eye could see. That's where faith worked. Faith worked in the dark, in the spiritual, in the heavens. And it's supposed to stay there until the manifestation, which we would call a breakthrough. But while we wait, we hope. While we wait, we water. While we wait, we let sunlight. Hey, God, while we wait. But we don't dig it back up again. You see? Be careful not to be like Jacob. You know, the promises of God should be enough. You know, as Hebrews, amen, we have a disposition, hallelujah, where we want to see something from God. In fact, the Bible says the Hebrews always did seek a sign. Yeah. We want to see something. When Jesus was there with the Pharisees, they said, give us a sign in heaven. You know what Jesus told them, boy? He said, no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah. Pastor, what's the sign of Jonah? As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a well, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the belly of the earth, and after the third day, he shall rise up again. And I'm telling you here, he don't have to do no sign for me. I'm even in a place in my life where he don't even have to do no miracles for me, even though I know he's a miracle worker. But I don't need to see no miracle. I don't need to see no more miracles. I don't even need to. Listen, I'm not saying I don't want to, because I know he will do it, because he's just a miracle worker. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. That's what I call him. Listen to me. That's who he is. But what I'm saying, Leah, he ain't got to do none of that for me. That's not where I'm at in my life. He ain't got to show me nothing. Show me nothing. You know what was enough for me? When he died on that cross and rose from that dead on the third day, that's all I need. That's me. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to encourage you, don't be like Thomas. See, Thomas saying, John, he said, Lord, I ain't believing. I ain't believing until I see. I got to see the nail prints. I want to reach my hand. I want to feel. Reach my hand in your side. Let me touch your pancreas. I won't feel. I won't touch it myself. You know? But look what the Lord tell Thomas and John. And I just want to help you out here. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Oh, God, have mercy. You see, the apostles and the disciples got something special with Jesus. Yeah. But don't think that because we born later, we don't have something special. See, our faith is bumped up to another level. He told Thomas, he said, listen, you believe because you've seen. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There's a stronger faith. There's a bigger blessing when we had not seen. Peter said, whom having not seen, you still love. You see? Oh, yeah. His word is enough. We got to take him at his word. Listen, I don't know what you're praying for. I don't know what you're hoping for. I don't know what you're waiting on God for, amen. But listen, you have to begin to believe before you get it. You got to believe before it comes into manifestation. You see? Hallelujah. That's what you have to do. All right? Hallelujah. Let me see where we at here. Glory to God. What'd you say, prayer? It's awesome. Oh, yeah, we're going. I think you're right. Listen, next time we come. Hallelujah. We're just not going to talk about Jacob. We're going to talk about Israel. You see, because it's easier to focus on what Jacob did wrong. But in this next chapter, he's going to do some things right. And when I look at Jacob, I see all of us. Because don't we have times in our life when we get it right? And some times when we completely blew it and get it wrong. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? No matter how born again you are, sometimes that old Jacob still come out of you. I just brought you by here this morning, amen, just to encourage you. Just to encourage you. We enter in a season of faith, a season of belief, a season of walking on water, where, listen, it's going to be our theme. Listen, they're going to, hallelujah, they saying it already, but they're going to say it even more, Brother Harvey. They're going to say, how y'all did that? They're going to say, how y'all did that? Huh? How y'all built that business? And how y'all got that land? And how y'all got that house back? They're going to say, how y'all got that? What happened? How did y'all? Not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord. Send your spirit, Lord. Not by might or by power, but your spirit, Lord. Send your spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your word this morning. Father, we give you praise, God, that you want us to be believing believers, God. We thank you, Lord God, that we walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God. I pray over these next lessons, Lord, that you would just encourage us in a mighty way, Lord God, to really trust you like we've never trusted you before, God. That, Lord God, we would do the impossible, God, as a church, in our families, and even individually. You said the people who know their God shall do great exploits, God. So, God, we are ready for the manifestation of that. We're ready to leave, God, the slave and bondage mentality of Egypt. And we are ready in our minds to walk into a promised land, hallelujah, mental ascent, where we know that all things are possible to them who believe. Father, bless us, God. Bless us, King. We pray as I'm preaching, God, about faith, that your people would be strengthened, God. That faith would come by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And the most important faith, I pray, would occur and rise up in your people is faith in Calvary's Hill, faith in the crucified, risen Savior. And so I'm praying that you would save some people as we go through this faith thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to have a little altar call, amen. And first off, if you're here, amen, and you want God to strengthen your faith, you want to leave out of negative thinking, you want to be a person, amen, who sees the glass half full instead of half empty, you want God to condemn that old trail, block that old path up, and you want God to restore and renew a whole new trail of thinking, amen, where you begin to see things as God see it and not like mama saw it, not like daddy saw it. Amen. Listen, you're going to come to the altar in a second, and we're going to pray that God give us as a church one of the most positive mindsets on earth, that we would be so gritty. Amen. So expecting good from Almighty God. Hallelujah. Not just one of us, but all of us in here. And I believe God can do it. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's another group in here, man, hallelujah, where you want God to pull you out of this category where you got to see something before you believe in the Most High God. And I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray that God meet you. Hey, God, and show you. Hallelujah. That he's got some things for you, whether you could see it or not. In fact, Bible says, I had not seen it. Lastly, if you're here and you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure if you had to pass away, where you would go, huh? I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in the most important place, which is the cross. You'll admit you're a sinner. You'll believe in Jesus Christ. You'll open your mouth and confess him as your Savior. And begin this new faith walk with us. Amen. Listen, ushers, open up the gates. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. So we can get them on out of here. Hallelujah. The altar is open. If you qualify in any of these categories, please come up. Please pray with me. Amen. I want you to be a part of this journey of faith as God is about to release miracles. He's about to release miracles, y'all. But you're going to have to get your mind right. You're going to have to get your mind right. You'll mess around and miss it if your mind is not right. You'll mess around and miss what you're a part of right now if your mind is not right. Here they are walking with Moses, and God is splitting seas and raining bread from heaven, and some of them missed it because their mind wasn't right. Gotta get your mind right. Gotta get your at this altar, God's going to do it for us. Let's put first things first, all right? Pray with me now. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I want to be real. I've sinned against you. I've done some things I'm not proud of. And I'm very sorry. And I need you to forgive me and save me. I believe in you. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And you rose. I believe it, Lord. I don't have to see anything. Your word is enough. Lord, I confess you as my king, as my captain. As my Lord. Use me. in these last days, as your soldier. Now, Lord, renew my mind. Block up. Condemn the old trails, the old paths of stinking thinking, of negativity. Make me new, Lord. Go before me and cut me a new trail. A trail that goes up and not down. A trail that leads to life and not despair. I'm tired of depression. I'm tired of not believing you. Increase my faith. Help my unbelief. And give me discernment. Show me when I'm not believing you. Show me when I'm preferring bad news. Show me when I'm hurting myself. By the way that I think, I need you. I'm ready for a new level. I'm ready for all my blessings. I'm ready! I'm ready. For the promised land. Everything you have promised me, I'm ready for. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Just grab hands or touch wherever you are right now. I just want to put my hands on you as a people. Just want to put my hands on you. Father, I believe in impartation. I believe that we could stir up the gifts in people by the laying on of hands. Father, right now, I know that it's the anointing that can destroy every yoke. I believe you, Daddy. And I'm praying that as I lay my hands upon your people, God, that as I touch one and they're connected, that it would be like me touching them all in here. I'm praying, God, for an increase of faith. I'm praying for a faith to move mountains. I'm praying for a trust in you that's so sweet, God, that they'll get out of the boat and walk on water with you, God. I'm talking, Lord, a trust that's going to produce joy. Hallelujah. I'm praying that the joy of the Lord will now begin to be their strength. That even when they get bad news, that they will have joy unshakable. Peace that passeth understanding. I'm praying in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that they'll be stronger, that they'll be better, that they'll be believing believers, God. Right now, God, in the name of Jesus, we break every yoke of stinking thinking, God. We break generational bondage. We don't care what mama did, what daddy did. We count it broken now in the name of Jesus. God, right now, God. Cut through it, burn through it, break through it, God. We got some people in here that some adults done messed up. But I thank you, though we messed up, you can fix us up. So, God, in the name of Jesus, fix us up right now. Come on and do a renovation, God. Do an inside job on us right now, God. Come on through, Daddy, and undo everything the devil did that's stopping us from walking into our blessing. Now, God, I'm praying, God, that if I've ever believed you myself, God, if I ever trusted you for big things that I could not see, Father, I'm praying as pastor of this church that you would transfer that trust upon this whole people. That you would transfer that belief upon this whole people. That they would look at big things and that they would not cower. That they would look at big things, that they would not draw back. That they would look at big things and that they would say, hallelujah, I can because God can. Hallelujah, God. Transfer. God. Make us the most believing and trusting church in the world, Lord God. We ask it right now. From the oldest of us to the youngest of us, that we would trust you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Y'all almost made me lose my voice first service. Y'all almost made me lose my voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Elvis Menard, Glenn Hunt. Love you.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Thank you for all your support you sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Hallelujah. Bless y'all so much. Bless y'all so much. Greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Greater things. He is able. Greater things. Greater things.